All right, welcome back into another episode of the Deacon of the Dock podcast. I'm your doc, Thaddeus Romanski.
And I'm the deacon, Mike Beauvais.
It's a rainy, drizzly day here, Deacon, but we've got some bright, sunny topics to talk about. We've got a new letter from Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI and some other thoughts on his pontificate and his writings as a theologian.
And it's always a pleasure to see something new from Pope Emeritus Benedict, because every time I see something, I'm...
Now, you know, the occasion for this letter was a conference that was held at Franciscan University in Steubenville. It was the 2022 conference of the Joseph Ratzinger / Pope Benedict XVI Foundation. It was October 20th and 21st in 2022.
But it's nice to be able to... at least talk about the letter, because, again, it's not often that the subject of your symposium actually sends you an introductory letter.
Yeah. But let's get into the letter.
Yeah, so let's take a look at it.
Illuminating about the article and the letter? Or what were some of your thoughts?
Well, the main thought was that... given the emphasis we have right now on the 60th anniversary of this, It's interesting to see the perspective of someone that was there and has had now several years to think about the impact and the way he articulated, you know, that he's, for one thing, you know, the fact that not only was it meaningful, but necessary. And yet he said, you know, 1946, when he started studying theology, nobody imagined the need for an ecumenical council. And so I think the retrospect here was one of the things that I found really fascinating.
The way I've read about it is Pope John's announcement was a bombshell, basically.
Yes, and I think that was the interpretation here, too. That
he was a little bit older pope, I think, and I thought I've read that they thought a lot of people kind of saw
space
him.
Holder.
He was going to be a caretaker pope until the next one.
Yes. No, nobody expected anything this dynamic under his pontificate.
What I had a little bit of, I wasn't sure what the Pope Emeritus meant by the question of a theology of religions had shown itself in its radicality. Any ideas on that?
If I had to take a poke at it, theology of religions, theology is the study of, you know, God. And so when we think of a theology of religions, it's how do they interrelate, you know, the religion with its understanding of God. And I think Vatican II, with its emphasis on the church, is how does the church understand itself from that, you know, in its relationship to God. And this is one of the things that Vatican II lays out very, very clearly. That, you know, the body of Christ ultimately has a intimate connection to the person of God.
Right.
And so this is, again, rather radical, because the church, I think, even though, you know, if you look back at the patristic understanding of the church, that ressourcement, I think, is part of this, that we're going back to understanding ourselves in the same way that Paul would have seen the church.
Okay, so that would make sense that he's using radical in that sense of to go to the root.
Yes.
So he's using it sort of as a synonym for ressourcement.
I would go along with that.
And then the same is true for the relationship between faith and the world of mere reason. I think that is speaking to probably Gaudium et Spes, especially the previous statement. You know, you see that showing up in some of those other documents about interreligious dialogue and ecumenism. But I thought this was very enlightening. He writes, those two topics had not been foreseen before. This explains why Vatican II at first threatened to unsettle and shake the church more than to give her a new clarity for her mission. In the meantime, the need to reformulate the question of the nature and mission of the church, Lumen Gentium, has gradually become apparent. In this way, the positive power of the council is also slowly emerging.
Yes.
And I think he says at first threatened to unsettle and shake the church. I mean, I kind of feel like we're still living in that at first.
Yes. And again, you know, when you read pieces from people that understand the church, you will constantly hear this, that, you know, Vatican II is still finding its identity in the life of the church. And so, you know, this is another, bless you, another realization of that. The fact that, you know, some of these things are only now coming to light, especially the necessity for it, which is something he said, but also how that the whole thing is going to ultimately be seen, which hasn't been determined yet.
Right. Yeah, and I think there's been a lot of buzz in the last couple of weeks, you know, some articles here and there on the people of God, the way the people of God is used in Lumen Gentium, and how this is news to me. There's debate about that term and how it's been co-opted by one side and, you know, misinterpreted. And so that's probably something we'll have to, you know, do an episode on. But
yes,
there's an example.
Yes. And again, you know, you use terminology and you have an understanding of what you mean by it, but you have no control over how that's going to be interpreted when somebody reads it, especially if it's something that, you know, is used in a different way than it might have been used in the past.
Right.
And so, you know, as we were just talking about, you know, this still needs to be somehow legitimized. You know, this is what the church means by this.
Now, he is of a pretty good humor in this letter because I would think that, you know, he might look upon, of course, we don't have any idea what he thinks, really.
Right.
What's going on in his mind. But I could see how, based on what we as outsiders have understood to be the John Paul II, Benedict XVI, hermeneutic of continuity, reform of the reform effort, that he might be looking at something like the Synod on synodality and some of the efforts in, I shouldn't even say efforts in Pope Francis's pontificate, but some of the events in Pope Francis's pontificate where these questions that we thought were settled, that we were starting to move out of the at first phase, have morphed again into open questions or live questions. And he doesn't seem to betray that in this letter.
No, I think this is more intended to be his endeavor to clarify how he sees Vatican II and how it is one radical change in one respect, but also a continuation of what the church, and again, the resource of all, what the church has always intended it to be and sometimes has gotten a little off track.
Yeah. Yeah, but he doesn't give any indication of seeing a kind of rupture.
No, and he has mentioned this numerous times that he does not see a rupture between the pontificate of Francis and his own. And so, in a way, I'm happy to hear that he's not worried.
Yeah.
Of course, he has a much more intimate relationship with Francis than we do, so.
Yeah, if he was worried, that would be a reason for all of us to worry.
Yeah, but again, there's nothing in this letter that seems anything other than optimistic.
That's true. And then he goes on into talking about ecclesiology. So that's the study of
the church,
the theology of church. Had always been, you pointed this out, quote, if ecclesiology had before the end of the First World War been treated essentially in institutional terms, the wider spiritual dimension of the concept of the church was now joyfully perceived. And he goes on to talk about how the phrase, the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, was actually a development, kind of a development of doctrine, I would take him to mean.
Well, but I did notice that he uses the word reconsidered, which, again, tends to make me think that this, again, is more ressourcement than anything else.
Yeah.
That we're looking at it again from the way that St. Paul would have looked at it and the early church would have looked at it.
Yeah, but that goes along with St. Vincent of Lorraine's, you know, philosophy of development of doctrine that we read about in the first part of Reclaiming the Vatican II. You have to understand where the doctrine has come from and how it has grown so that you can know how it's supposed to develop, so that it develops in the same line with the same nature. Then he goes on to say, he kind of got into some deep weeds there at the end with some German historiography of, not historiography, but different schools of thought in German theology, which is, you know, kind of foreign to me.
Yeah, which I wouldn't even want to go into.
Yeah, anyway. I don't have any basis upon which to evaluate that part of the letter. But he did. I liked what at the end of that rather long paragraph, that penultimate paragraph. He writes, "But the complete spiritualization of the concept of the church, for its part, misses the realism of faith and its institutions in the world. Thus, in Vatican II, the question of the church in the world finally became the real central problem." So almost he was kind of describing a swing from one pole to the next, where there was, for a long time, there was an emphasis on the church as merely its institutions and the clergy, and then there was this move to see the church only in its spiritual dimension, and a necessity for understanding the church from both of those perspectives. Did you think that was what he was trying to say?
Yes, especially you know, his commentary then you know, about the fact that it used to be seen strictly institutional. And he liked the balance, but he also warns that if you look at it strictly from a spiritual sense, you then lose sight of the institution itself. And
right.
So there's the both and of Catholicism.
Yeah, and I couldn't tell. I wondered also if he was alluding to, he talks about the medieval Augustine and how Augustine's thinking had been maybe distorted in medieval theology. That's what I took him to mean. But is he alluding also to the medieval church, the pre-Reformation church? There was certainly an emphasis on the institutional reality of the church, and that where the Pope is, that's where the church is, and where the and then the Protestantism. An emphasis in Protestantism was the priesthood of all believers, and that the church is is those that believe in Christ. That's right. The church, not the church building, not the hierarchy.
Well, in a way, it was a direct resistance to the institutional view of the church.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And but this is, again, I think part of what he's warning against is if you strictly have a spiritual sense of the church,
right,
then you have no identity to the church.
And I think he's arguing for Lumen Gentium and maybe Gaudium et Spes to some extent, are gathering those two ideas together or points of view together and, you know, effectively synergizing them.
Yes.
Because Lumen Gentium gives some beautiful explanation about the spiritual nature of the church, but then it also has, you know, important chapters on the role of the Pope, the role of the bishop, the institutions of the church.
Yes. And, you know, again, back to patristics, you know, that, you know, St. Irenaeus, where your bishop is where the church is.
Right.
You know, that understanding that the institution underpins the spiritual life of the church, because if you take out the institution, there's no guardrails for where that spirituality takes you. This is the whole, you know, I'm spiritual without religion thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, what does that mean? You know, well, it's self-aggrandizement. You know, I'm the sole arbiter of what spirituality looks like.
Right. Isn't that a danger, is that instead of having one pope, you have umpteen thousands of...
1.2 billion.
Popes, yeah, 1.2 billion of popes. Yeah. Okay, so this was linked to in an article from National Catholic Register, and I think you said that you had some thoughts on the article as well. Is that right?
Well, just a few. I found it interesting that the article was very complimentary of the letter itself, and in the quotations from the letter, in staying true to the direction of the letter, which is not always true in media.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, reading the letter and then reading the article and then reading the letter, I felt that I could have just read the letter and gotten the gist of the article. Of the letter, just from the article.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't feel like, after I read the letter, I didn't feel like the article really added very much to my understanding of the letter, honestly.
Right.
Well, I'm gratified to see that letter from Pope Emeritus Benedict. I had a great deal of affection for him when he was Pope. I was saddened when he decided to step down. I've profited very much personally, spiritually, from his thought, from reading him. So I get excited anytime there's something from, I'm happy anytime there's something from him, and I'll be genuinely sad when he's called home.
Yes, I think one thing that I have found, everything that he has either said or written has been a challenge to me, because it's always informative. It is always enlightening, mm-hmm, to the point where it opens new avenues of thought,
mm-hmm,
that perhaps my poor little brain hasn't gone into.
Yeah.
And then you read him and you go, ooh, that is just brilliant.
And I know that I'm going to ruffle some feathers here, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but I think I actually profit more and enjoy reading Pope Benedict more than probably Pope John Paul II, honestly, for me. I'm just speaking for myself.
Depends on the topic. It is extremely difficult to beat the theology of the body.
True.
In our current times. But I would agree with most of the other things. From a theological standpoint, the depth of his writing is just absolutely fascinating. And I'm always challenged how much influence he may have had on some of the writings of St. John Paul II also.
I'm sure.
During a pontificate, given his role in the Curia at the time.
Yeah, I think because John Paul is a philosopher also, he's got that phenomenological philosophy training.
Yes.
Sometimes his writing is so dense and so rich that it's almost too much for me to grasp. I feel like I'm getting most of what he's saying, but then I also feel at the same time that I think I'm still missing part of the kernel.
Well, I feel that way about all phenomenology. It's one of these philosophical
schools
that I struggle with at times to get a clear idea of how it is to be applied with consistency, because it is so much experiential.
Right.
And I like concrete.
But we're blessed as a church to have had Pope John Paul II. We're not slighting him in any way, his body of thought. But this was great to talk about and revisit Pope Benedict XVI, and we send our good wishes and prayers to him from the Deacon in the Dock.
And we'll see if we can't find something else interesting to talk about, to sometimes disagree about, but always to be faithful about.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Deacon on the Dock podcast. If you've enjoyed it, please consider going to redsearadio.org/donate and supporting religious education for the domestic church.